festive season of the year, those of us with means should make some slight provision for the poor and destitute.
The workhouses, they're still in operation?
They are. I wish I could say they were not.
Oh, what can we put you down for, sir? Nothing.
You wish to be anonymous?
I wish to be left alone.
Hi, I'm Rob West, and that was Ebenezer Scrooge and A Christmas Carol. Are you making provisions for year-end giving in this festive season? I'll talk about a wise way to do it, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, the holidays are a time of traditions for most of us, and one of those may be special year-end giving. Many times that means just writing a check to your church or favorite ministry, but we want to thank the folks at the National Christian Foundation for a great article on an alternative way to give and a new twist in 2023. Now, maybe you've wanted to make some special gifts this year, but economic stresses have taken a toll on your cash reserves. There are tried and true strategies for making gifts out of your IRA, and a new option to fund a charitable gift annuity that way. I know IRAs can be confusing, and eyes are probably glazing over all across the land, but stick with me for a moment. We'll break down the options by age, and that should make it easier to understand how to maintain or even increase giving to your favorite ministries. Of course, these are general recommendations and may not apply to everyone. You should consult with your CPA for specific advice based on your circumstances. Okay, here are a few terms you need to understand first. Adjusted gross income, or AGI. This is basically your income before you take your standard or itemized deduction. Regular distribution. This is just money taken from your IRA after you turn 59 and a half. It's reported as income on your tax return. Qualified charitable distribution, or QCD. This is a distribution from an IRA paid directly to the qualified charity after the owner turned 70 and a half. In 2023, an IRA owner can make QCDs of up to $100,000 annually. The amount is not reported as taxable income on your tax return. Required minimum distribution, or RMD. This is money that must be withdrawn from an IRA when the owner reaches 72 or 73, depending on their birthday. You can satisfy this requirement by making regular distributions, QCDs, or both from your IRA. So, you'll have to make distributions at some point, but you may be able to minimize the tax hit by taking certain actions based on your age. At 59 and a half or older, you can take distributions from your IRA without that pesky 10% penalty. You still have to pay taxes on that money, but you can offset some of the federal income tax by making a deductible gift to charity in the same year. That option is always available. In 2023, the deduction limit for cash gifts is 60% of your AGI, and that will be tightened to 50% of your AGI after 2025. Now, that's only for federal taxes. You should consult with your tax professional to see how cash giving affects state taxes, if any. Okay, here's the next age to look at, 70 and a half. As I mentioned, that's when you can make a QCD directly from your IRA to a charity. It does not trigger a taxable event because that money is not included in your adjusted gross income. Now, what's new in 2023 is that a cash gift can fund a charitable gift annuity, or CGA. QCDs are limited to $100,000 per year, but starting in 2023, you can make a one-time election to use $50,000 of your QCD to fund a charitable gift annuity, which will make regular lifetime payments to you or to you and your spouse. What is left afterwards is kept by the charity. Now, at age 72, every IRA owner must start taking an annual required minimum distribution if they haven't started already. You can do that with regular distributions, QCDs, or both. For example, if your RMD is $50,000, you can make a QCD of $30,000 directly to a charity with a $20,000 regular distribution to yourself. You could make that $20,000 a deductible gift to a donor advised fund at the National Christian Foundation. Go to ncfgiving.com to learn more. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. It's 800-525-7000. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Have you ever had a crazy, busy week? One where the days go by quickly and you wonder, where did the time all go? This is especially true in the holiday season, but let's take a quick moment to remember the reason for the season. 2,000 years ago, a young girl named Mary awaited the first Christmas ever. She was promised the coming of the Messiah through her womb. And in Luke 1, she sang a beautiful song beginning with, "My soul glorifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." I know you're busy this month. That's okay. But let me encourage you. Take time to glorify the Lord and to rejoice. Jesus is the greatest gift we've been given. Grow in your walk with Christ. Visit GetAnchor.com.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
As I say so repeatedly, the Word of God is so rich. You read something, you've read it before, and then one time you read it, and bam! Something comes out like a Sugar Ray Leonard jab, right in the eyes. Whoa, Lord, where did that come from?
The Hamilton Quarter with Abraham Hamilton III, weekday afternoons at 5 Central on American Family Radio, or grab the podcast at AFR.net.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, it's time to turn the corner. Take your questions today on anything financial. What are you thinking about? Living, giving, owing, or growing will help you think about the practical decisions you need to make in your financial life as a steward in light of biblical wisdom, because we're managers of God's resources. So when the steward is seeking to be faithful in managing the master's resources, you have to understand the heart of the master. So we go back to the scriptures and look at the big ideas and themes that we're to give generously and hold God's money loosely, and money becomes a tool to accomplish God's purposes. We should live with contentment. These are all of the ideas that we see in scripture. In Luke 12, the parable of the rich fool, we need to be on our guard against covetousness and greed and trying to allow money and possessions to fill a role they were never intended or are able to occupy.
occupy successfully. They can't give us purpose and meaning. They can't fill our deep longings. That only comes from God himself. So when we make God our true treasure, then money becomes a tool to accomplish God's purposes. We want to remind you of that each day on this broadcast, but we also want to help you make some practical financial decisions in light of that truth. So what are you thinking about today financially? Call right now. We've got lines open, 800-525-7000. That's right. You can call right now. You can get right through it, 800-525-7000. All right, let's dive in. We're going to begin in New Mexico today with Selena. How can I help?
Good morning. Good morning, Rob. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I have two unrelated questions. I am a brand new grandma. He's a couple months old, and I want to give him a financial gift for Christmas. I wanted to get your recommendation on that. And then I also have some savings bonds that I misplaced. Is there any way to track that with my Social Security?
Yeah, so let's tackle both of those. First of all, congratulations on being a new grandma. How exciting. This Christmas will be very special with that new little one. I know that's true. All right, I love this idea of you beginning early and blessing that little one with something that will be really meaningful someday. Let me ask you this question, because I think this will help us guide this particular part of your question, and that is, do you want to, or would you be open to earmarking this specifically for college, or do you want it to be available really for any use?
For any use.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Because if it was for college, I'd use a 529 education savings plan. But if you really want it more widely available, typically what folks will do is they will immediately think about a custodial account. And that has its benefits. Basically, it's an account that's for the benefit of the child. And it becomes the child's asset at the age of majority in your state, which in most cases is 18. Now, the only downside to that is, let's say you put in a couple of $100 to get it started, and we're going to talk about where you'd invest it if you want to invest it in a moment. But let's say you did a systematic contribution. Maybe you put in $20 a month or a couple of $100 a year, and the contributions plus the growth, if it was invested over the next 18 years. I mean, let's say there was a sizable sum of money there. It automatically becomes the child's asset to do with what he or she wants at the age of majority. So if the spiritual or the financial maturity wasn't there, you don't have a choice. It's their money, and if they want to go buy a sports car, they can. So I guess that would be my second question, is if we don't want it for college, do you want it to be something that you've earmarked for the child but you control, or do you truly want to go ahead and give it to the child now in a custodial type account, and therefore you lose the ability to control it down the road?
I think I'd like to control it.
Okay, great. So that leads us to then an account that would be in your name, or if you're married, in you and your husband's name potentially. But I would recommend a separate account so that in your mind and maybe on paper, you know this is earmarked for the child, but you have the control over it, which also means you'll pay the taxes on it along the way if we do, you know, get some investments. But you would then have the ability to say, okay, I'm going to be in control of the time and the place that the money actually, you know, goes from me to the child. So what I would say is, I'd probably, you know, with a small amount of money, start an investment plan. You know, as long as you've got at least a 5-year time horizon, meaning you don't plan for the child or the child's parents, your children to use it, or your child to use it prior to age 5, let's say for, you know, daycare or something like that. I mean, as long as we have at least a 5-year time horizon, I would say investing it makes some sense. And with a small amount of money, putting it in a mutual fund where you get broad diversification is often a great way to go. So you could choose one of the faith-based investing mutual funds like you'd find on our website at faithfi.com, where it's invested in companies that not only are creating value for their shareholders, but they're aligned with the values and priorities of Christians. The other approach is you could use what's called an index. So you may have heard of the Dow Jones 30 or the S&P 500. You could invest it in those, one of those or both, And that would allow you to essentially, at a very low cost, just capture the broad moves of the market over time. And I would probably use what's called a robo-advisor for that. So I would recommend probably the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. Would you rather go the faith-based fund approach, or would you rather use more of the indexed approach?
Faith-based.
Yeah. Okay. So, you know, you just heard us talk about during the last break, Timothy Plan. That would be a great one. I know Dan Celia, the former host of this, hour on AFR, you know, would talk a lot about Timothy Plan. We're big fans. So you could go to the Timothy Plan's website, pick one of those mutual funds that's, you know, a more stock growth oriented fund, or you could use Eventide, another great fund family, or One Ascent. You'll find all of those listed on our website at faithfi.com. Just click on the show. Pick one of those faith-based funds, set up an account at Fidelity or Schwab, and then every time you want to make a contribution, whether that's annually or even monthly, you could just systematically buy more shares of that fund, and then you'd let it grow over time. And then at the appropriate time, you could, you know, let the child know that it's there and go ahead and pass it off when you decide to do so. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir. Perfect, sis. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you're welcome. So the second part of this is misplaced savings bonds. The first place I would go is treasurydirect.gov. Now, this is the government's website. This is the U.S. Treasury's website specifically for savings bonds. It's really the only place to go, and it's become much more user-friendly. It's really the key destination, largely because the banks have really gotten out for the most part of the savings bond space, because now the bonds are electronic in most cases. But they have something called the if you just type in Treasury Hunt in the search box to use that feature at treasurydirect.gov, they do have a tool to help you chase down lost or misplaced savings bonds.
Great. Treasury Hunt.
Yeah, and the website is treasurydirect.gov, and then Treasury Hunt is what you want to do when you get there.
Got it. Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right, Selena, thank you for being on the program today. Merry Christmas to you. Well, folks, we've got time for more questions. We're just getting started today. I've got a break coming up just around the corner, but let me give out the number because we're ready for you when we come back from this break. Whatever you're thinking about financially today, you can give us a call. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. By the way, let me direct you to our year in ministry impact report. We just put it out there. If you want to see all the great things that God has allowed us to do this year, go to faithfi.com/impact, faithfi.com/impact. You'll also see our year-end giving goal from listeners, and you can help with a gift of any amount. Help us achieve that goal by December 31st. faithfi.com/impact. Back with your questions after this. Stick around.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Director of the AFA Foundation, Riley Wildman.
Here in the Foundation, we help families just like yours to shore up permanent income for their retirement years through our charitable gift annuities.
Riley has served as the director of the AFA Foundation for over a decade.
Give us a call today at 800-326-4543. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
The AFA Foundation, the Financial Stewardship Division of the American Family Association.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. We've got lines open, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. You can call right now. You know, folks, in the news today, we're seeing all kinds of information out there about the economy. But here's something you may have missed. If you're working from home this morning, odds are good you'll be doing a lot of that in the future. A new survey of employers has found that the number of workers being called back into the office has flatlined. At the height of the pandemic in the spring of 2020, 61.5% of paid full work days were from home. And that number was cut in half last year as companies called employees back to on-site work. But this year, that number went flat as only about 28% of employees working from home were called back in. So workers have come to expect more work from home situations, and research shows they equate it to getting an 8% pay raise just because of the amount of time out of the house, obviously fuel, traveling back and forth to work. Maybe you're eating out more if you're working from an office as opposed to being able to work from home. So really interesting. I mean, I think the pendulum clearly swung very far during the pandemic, and for good reason. It was mandated. And then a lot of those folks stayed at home as the pandemic moved. We moved beyond it. So we saw a big rush back. But again, that's now flatlining. And we're certainly much more, working from home than pre-pandemic, that's for sure. And a great opportunity for those who really value the ability to have more flexibility and work from home hours. So interesting data out today about what we're seeing in the job market, specifically related to remote work. All right, let's take some more calls today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Let's talk to Carol in Kansas. Go ahead.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm calling because I have been on Social Security disability for a number of years. And about a year ago, I called Social Security and asked them how I could defer my retirement Social Security until age 70. And at that time, I was told that I would receive a letter when I achieve full retirement age, which for me is 66 and a half. And I called again this past week because I have not received the letter that I was referred to. And they said that there is no way for me to defer my retirement Social Security.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to believe, and I don't know if there's anything I can do about it.
Yeah. I certainly understand the question, Carol. And, unfortunately, Social Security disability benefits automatically change to retirement benefits when disability beneficiaries reach full retirement age. So that's either 66 or 67. So as far as I can tell, and I'm not a Social Security expert, I would always defer to them on this. You know, unless you just stopped your disability benefits prior to reaching full retirement age and then elected to defer taking those benefits based on your work record, which would then start increasing until age 70, it's automatically going to transition over to your regular benefit, which means you don't have the option then to allow that check to continue to grow. Now, whether there's a provision there that allows you to run that disability right up to full retirement age and stop it, rather than it automatically converting to retirement benefits, which would then lock in your benefit from that point forward. Again, that's where I think you need to talk to the Social Security Administration. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
It doesn't seem fair because I did ask if I could stop receiving my benefit and then postpone the retirement benefit until age 70, and they said no. But like I said, I've gotten more than one answer. I just don't know what to believe.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, you should be able to, and again, I would defer to them, of course, but you are able to voluntarily suspend your benefits. You have to submit a signed statement to Social Security. So I guess what I would wonder is, by submitting that request to withdraw the benefit application, whether you could, in fact, see your disability benefits come to a close and then, not trigger the automatic switch to your main retirement benefit through Social Security. So that would be the question I would ask for clarification on. And what you may find is the very best way to do that might be to schedule an in-person meeting in your Social Security office.
Okay.
All right.
I will give that a try.
Great. Thank you, Carol. We appreciate your call today. God bless you. Let's head to Ohio. Hi, Patrick. How can I help?
I have a question in reference to precious metals. If I was to invest in, like gold and silver, sometime in the near future here, and then, in 10 or 15 years, I want to liquidate that gold and silver, what is the best way to get the most bang for my buck when I decide to sell it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you're talking about just the straight precious metal. You're not talking about, numismatic coins and things like that that might have value beyond the spot price of the metal, correct?
No, just, whatever yeah. I was able to invest in is in reference to gold and silver.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, so, the great part about that is that, you can always check the spot price of gold. And so you know how much markup there is when you're buying and selling, just because you can always pull that price that's readily available. So what I would do is, when you're ready to sell and when you're ready to buy, just really do a lot of research online. Look for somebody locally. You could look for somebody that's long distance. Read a lot of reviews, but just compare the premium that you're paying. Thanks for your call.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
The purpose of government is to secure God-given or inalienable rights to man.
America's premier historian, David Barton.
John Dickinson, who's also a signer of the Constitution, he said, "An inalienable right is a right which God gave to you and which no inferior power has a right to take away."
Wall Builders Live captures the ideas of the Founding Fathers and then applies those ideas to the issues of today. Sunday morning at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
God has entrusted his finances to you, and we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
Coming up this weekend on This Day on Radio, a 19-year-old girl fighting for the unborn gives us a glimpse into the next generation of pro-life leaders.
So I think the first step is to really become heartbroken over abortion and realize how evil abortion is and what abortion does to a preborn baby.
The Stand Radio, Saturdays at 4 and Sundays at 8 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions. Looks like we may have one line open, 800-525-7000. If you get a busy signal, keep calling. We'd love to get you on the program today. All right, let's go to Virginia. Hi, Angela. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm calling about structured settlement.
Okay.
I'm not very familiar with them. I am receiving checks offering to buy my structured settlement. I don't know that I have one. How can I find out if I do have a structured settlement that's being paid out to me?
Yeah, well, you would know in the sense that a structured settlement is basically a way that, you know, if you were in a personal injury, you know, case, or you had a legal settlement, it's a way that, you know, you can be paid out over time by using an insurance product. So it's basically a type of court settlement that's paid out as an annuity instead of a one-time lump sum payment. And so it provides some tax advantages, you know, to the claimant. And then it provides some benefit to the defendant because they're paying it out, you know, in a smaller amount than what was awarded or over time. And so it provides some savings to the party, you know, paying the settlement. Now, if somebody's offering to buy that from you, then, you know, that they're going to buy it at a discount and then, you know, take those payments over the rest of, you know, the payout. You know, the fact that you're not aware that you have a structured settlement tells me that this is probably either, you know, just somebody who's fishing out there, you know, or it could even be fraudulent, something like that.
I was concerned about that. I've received several from different companies, okay. And it's not the same place. So I had moved after there was a court case that I knew of that was going on for a prior workplace, and they may not know where I'm currently located. So I didn't know how to find out if that was somehow settled to me.
Yeah, interesting. Well, you could try to chase that back and see if you could find information on it. There's a couple of websites you could check as well that would tap into, you know, some of the private as well as the government databases on awards that should be coming to you. One is missingmoney.com, missingmoney.com. The other is unclaimed.org. unclaimed.org. You could check both of those. You could also check with the state department, of revenue normally has an unclaimed property department for your particular state there in Virginia. So I think, and if you just do an internet search on whatever search engine you use, you could find the various databases on how you might, locate unclaimed money. The other option is for you to, actually chase that back to the particular entity that would have resulted in this lawsuit and see if they can, let you know what the outcome was. But I'd be hesitant to I wouldn't be giving anybody information who's contacting you on an unsolicited basis until you verify who it is and whether or not there's really something out there that's legitimate.
Definitely not responded to anything that has come to me, but I wondered what their basis was, and I thought I needed to find that out since they keep coming. So apparently there's some kind of – there's some place that they're getting the information from, whether it's fraudulent or valid, that companies can go and offer you a structured settlement. So they have – it says it's public information. So I don't know where that public information is either, where they can find the structured settlement information to even – even though my name and address and why, if there is one, why they couldn't contact me there. But how are they finding that I'm even eligible is my other question.
I mean, they're probably searching, one of these databases out there that I mentioned and seeing your name pop up. And obviously you want to find the same information so you can chase it back yourself without going through one of these third parties. So I would just do a search. Another website that kind of lists all of the different search databases is usa.gov/unclaimed-money. So that's usa.gov/unclaimed-money. And then what that will do is it will give you all of the state's unclaimed property offices, and then you'll see all the databases there where you search for everything from, unclaimed money from employers, insurance, taxes, investments, bank failures, savings bonds, all of them, and links to all of those databases. So that would allow you maybe at least a starting point for you to start to do your own research. Is that helpful?
I was aware of one of them, but not those others. So thank you very much for the information. I will see what I can find and see if there's any validity to it or if it's just fishing.
Yeah, sounds good. A great call and great question, Angela. Thanks for listening to the program. Let's go to Texas. Hi, Melissa. How can I help?
Hi, can you hear me okay?
I sure can, yeah. Go ahead.
So all the time in AFR, and I'm actually driving on my way to the Panhandle right now, where I teach Medicare classes, and I teach about 12 across the state of Texas in libraries, and I wanted to question, but first make a recommendation for, just called in about Social Security, because I'm asked questions about Social Security all the time, and I'm quick to say I am not an expert in Social Security, but I have been teaching many years on Medicare, and so I read a book that was recommended to me called Get What's Yours for Social Security. The three authors, two of them are investigative journalists. The third, his name is Philip Mueller. He actually has a call-in radio show and truly is an expert in these two fields. They wrote a sister book on Medicare called Get What's Yours for Medicare. But I recommend that book on Social Security. I had to listen to it on audio tape probably three times. It's very complicated, as you know. But a couple of things that I learned was, one, that when you call Social Security, they're actually not supposed to advise you on what to do and what your rights are. And so it truly is up to us to understand what our rights are. The book has many examples of people who have approached Social Security with questions and gotten the wrong information, been advised different ways. Just as she says, she's gotten several different answers. Well, I'm afraid that having experienced similar things calling into Medicare, the front lines of Medicare today are different than they were 4 or 5 years ago.
Yes.
With, staffing shortages nationwide, I'm afraid that the front lines you know, don't always have the right answer. I've experienced that personally. And also the same with Social Security, calling in and just trying to help people navigate this journey along Medicare, which involves Social Security, in interaction with them. You know, I started seeking external sources, and that's a really great source, and you can listen to it, book on tape, or you can get the book. It's actually quite humorous. It makes you laugh out loud at points, but one of the things that I learned, as I think she did, was that the best way to maximize your Social Security is to wait until you're 70. So,
yeah.
You know, my husband and I are planning on doing the same thing. Honestly, I didn't know that. Before I read that book, I always thought, as I was helping people with their Medicare and they were talking about their FRA or full retirement, that is the age where I will draw my maximum distribution. But in fact, that's not what it means.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. We often advise folks to wait until 70 because you're going to get that 8% increase locked in per year if you wait. Boy, this was really helpful, Melissa. So if you couldn't hear her, and I appreciate you calling, that book is called Get What's Yours, The Secrets to Maxing Out Your Social Security. Find it where you get books. Thanks, Melissa. We'll be right back.
In the book of Luke, we read the story of a sinner who washed the feet of Jesus with her tears, dried them with her hair, and anointed them with expensive perfume. She was all in. Jesus said of that woman, she loved much. Guest writer Rick Robertson says,
this story reminds me of what happens in the life of every person who's born again. There's an overflow of gratitude to Jesus for saving us.
Read the blog, She Loved Much, at afa.net/thestand.
Sandy Rios 24/7. It's not a morning show, it's an all-day show, fueled by the wit and wisdom of Sandy Rios.
If you have a smartphone, I think you should download the AFR app.
Sandy Rios 24/7 is on the podcast page at afr.net.
I have, you know, so many listeners from the radio show who are now listening to the podcast.
Sandy Rios 24/7.
You live my prayers all the time.
Sandy Rios 24/7 on the podcast page at afr.net.
Are you looking for a financial professional who aligns with your biblical values? Certified Kingdom Advisors are trusted financial, legal, or accounting professionals who have completed a rigorous certification program to ensure they provide biblically wise financial advice as part of their practice. You can find a local CKA professional in your area by going to faithfi.com and clicking Find a CKA.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
I'm so thankful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. In our final segment today, we've got some lines open. We've got room for you. If you have a financial question today, we'd love to hear from you at 800-525-7000. That's right. Lines are open. You can call right now. We've got room for maybe three more questions before the end of the program. 800-525-7000. Hey, let me ask you a question. Have you ever read the Bible through cover to cover? Well, if you haven't done it, I recommend it. When you look at the scope of God's Word from Genesis to Revelation, you'll see a lot of recurring themes. One of those is the concept of abundance. Now, the dictionary defines abundance as the condition of being in rich supply. Who wouldn't want to be in God's rich supply? Unfortunately, time after time in Scripture, we read of God's people rejecting His abundance and running after worldly pleasures or selfish desires instead. From the beginning, God's plan was for His creation to experience abundance. God created an Eden to be a place of abundance. He told Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply. Unfortunately, they rejected abundance by disobeying God. Well, later, God rescued Israel. Israel from slavery in Egypt and led them to a new place of abundance, a land filled with milk and honey. Over time, God's people got complacent and rebellious. We read this, you know, over and over in the Old Testament. They were worshiping pagan gods, and worse, they lost their abundance again and ended up in exile. You see, this cycle happens over and over, and as people traded God's blessings for their own convenience, greed, and sin, that seems to be the story of our time as well, doesn't it? Finally, God's promises of abundance reach their fulfillment in Christ, who says that in John 10:10, I have come that they might have life and have it abundantly. You see, Jesus sealed that promise by dying on the cross, taking our sin, disobedience, and shame on himself. His resurrection broke the power of death once and for all. Now you and I can live abundantly without fear. Now, of course, the story of God's abundance doesn't end with our redemption. Jesus promised his followers that he would return in glory. In John 14:3, he says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." So Christians look forward to Jesus' return and ultimately to eternal blessings in heaven. Now, in Psalm 66:12, it says, "We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance." The psalmist was referring to God leading Israel into the promised land, but the same goes for God's people today. Heaven is our promised land, and we look forward to enjoying God's abundance there. Now, that's the good news. You see, whether or not you've read through the whole Bible, you can still experience God's abundance today, and it really has nothing to do with how much money you have. In Christ, we can all experience God's love, his amazing grace, his complete peace, and the hope of heaven. Our gratitude for these blessings should stimulate our praise and our desire to serve and help others too. So I hope maybe today you reflect just a bit on God's gift of abundance as you think about it, search the scriptures, and live in the reality of it. All right, let's head back to the phones today and round out our broadcast. We're going to head to Larry in Virginia. How can I help you, sir?
Hey, Rob, it's Larry Hawley. I guess I'm not supposed to say my last name, but anyway, looking forward, trying to get approved for Medicaid, and I understand there is a Medicaid annuity that is compliant with Medicaid, that they don't hold that against you, that you can put your funds into that. It doesn't give you very much money back, but you can. That's a way of holding, keeping your money. And they give it back to you over several years.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. Yes, so there is such a thing, and what I would do is check with an insurance agent who can, or an advisor who can help you explore that. I mean, essentially, it's just as you said, it's an annuity that allows the applicants to meet Medicaid's asset criteria by reducing their non-exempt assets and then making them eligible for Medicaid benefits. It's essentially a single premium immediate annuity that would be what you're describing here. And, you know, I would always look at a product like this in light of your overall financial situation. And so if you don't have an advisor who can help you think through this in terms of what's legal and, you know, what's in your best interest from a planning standpoint over the rest of your life, I would connect with a certified Kingdom advisor on our website, you know, or talk to your estate attorney as you're putting your financial affairs in order, just to understand your options here. As you think about long-term planning, including the need potentially for Medicaid.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good. Yes, I have talked to the attorney, and he has recommended a firm in Ohio that does this, and we're in the process of doing it. I just wanted to know if you had heard any bad stuff or good stuff.
No, I mean, I think the key here is that the unique aspect of these particular annuities is that they have to pay out over the annuitant's life expectancy. That's the only option. And it has to be irrevocable and non-assignable, which is what removes those assets from consideration with regard to Medicaid. It has to be actuarially sound, which means it's, you know, aligns with, the actuarial tables and based on your life expectancy. And then it has to provide for payments in equal amounts. So you can't have any deferral or any balloon payments. And then it has to name the state Medicaid program as the primary beneficiary to the extent that medical assistance benefits were provided, to the individual. So this is a special type of annuity that has to meet certain criteria. And that's why it should always be done, in the context of a well thought out financial plan and legal counsel, because there's just no way to give estate or financial planning advice without knowing all the details of your specific situation.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
All right, Larry. Thanks for your call, sir. God bless you. Let's head to Michael in Illinois. Go ahead.
Hey, Rob. This is Michael. I had a situation where I received a notice from the Social Security Department that there was an unclaimed sum of money left over in an old 401k account from a former employer 30 years ago. Now, I just received this notice. I made an attempt to contact the former employer, but they have been of no assistance. Do you have any recommendation?
Yeah, there is, some places you can go. For instance, the Department of Labor has a database that would allow you to search to find a lost 401k. And so the website there is eFast, eFast.dol.gov. DOL is Department of Labor, eFast.dol.gov. You could also check the National Registry of Unclaimed Retirement Benefits, and it's at unclaimedretirementbenefits.com. I think I would start at both of those and see what you can find. Unclaimedretirementbenefits.com.
Okay. Thank you, Rob.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate your call today. Let's go to Texas. Hi, Jesse, a first-time caller. How can I help?
So I sold a piece of property this last year and made quite a bit of money off it. I know that's going to go onto my taxable income for this year And I normally just take the standard deduction for married filing jointly. If I make a bigger donation, charitable donation this year still, will that go towards will that come off my income for the year?
So I think the key is to understand you have here. So when you sell a piece of property and you have a profit, it's not your primary residence, it's a second property or an investment property, and you generate a profit, that's a capital gain, not income. So your itemized deductions and personal exemptions, which is where you would claim charitable contributions, they reduce adjusted gross income. And then are applied against adjusted net capital gain. You likely wouldn't be able to offset that. Now, what is your, in terms of your income, you said you're married filing jointly. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. For married filing jointly, you don't kick into a capital gains rate. The first tier beyond zero is 15%, and that kicks in at $89,000 in adjusted gross income. Do you have more than $89,000 in income this year?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So up to $550,000, you'd have a 15% capital gains tax rate that you would pay on the gain, not the total selling price, but the amount that was the gain. When you look at your selling price minus your cost basis, minus any improvements or expenses related to the sale, that would be your gain. And then you'd have a 15% tax rate. It's always good to check with a professional based on your situation. So I'd check with your CPA and look at anything you could do. But typically your charitable contributions would offset your adjusted gross income and you would still have this capital gain. But they can tell you, you know, in more detail what you might be expecting. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Jesse. Appreciate your call today, sir. God bless you. Connie, I'm sorry we didn't get to your question. Unfortunately, we're out of time, but we'd love to see if we can get you scheduled for a future broadcast. So our team will pick up the line and see if we can get that done. Folks, thanks for being along with us today. I'm Rob West, and on behalf of my team today, producer Devin Patrick, call screener Robert Youngblood, and researcher Jim Henry, I'm Rob West. This has been Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We're so grateful for our partnership with AFR, bringing you biblical wisdom as it relates to financial decision-making. Have a great day, and if you want to check out our website, go to faithfi.com. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.